So now we pick it up in the beginning of Perek Beis, where Yonah was just cast off into the sea. And seemingly, we would expect Yonah to die if you're thrown into the sea in the middle of a great storm. However, the Navi tells us in source number 1, Vayiman Hashem da gadol libloa es Yonah, that God prepared a large fish to swallow Yonah. Vayi Yonah b'mei hadag shlosha yamim u'shlosha leilos. And Yonah is in this great fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Everybody thinks that this great fish was a whale. If you see the pictures depicted of Yonah and the fish, it always seems to be a whale, but there's no reason that we need to assume it's a whale. The truth is, it could have been a goldfish. And the bottom line is, it's a miracle, right? Once it's a miracle, it doesn't really make a difference. Well, they say that, okay, there's lots to be said. There's something that Forshim point out, that gadol over here does not mean necessarily in size, but the word gadol means in terms of the quality. The fish was able to swallow. It was great in terms of its ability to swallow human being. It's not necessarily a reflection of its actual size. Either way, a whale or other sorts of fish, the bottom line is that Yonah is swallowed up by a fish and he's there for 3 days. Vayispalo Yonah el Hashem elokav. Yonah davens to Hashem, his God, mimei hadaga, from the belly, from the innards, good, of the fish. So just two technical points before we begin to delve into the substance of what's going on over here. The first word of Perek Beis Vayiman is a bit of a strange one.
Summon, but usually the same way is amen.
Good. So let's see. So there is precedent for this word. It's found in Daniel. The Radak points out, Vayiman Hashem inyan zimun, right? It is related to prepare. Kemo asher mana ma'achalchem. That's a pasuk in Daniel. Again, in that context, the word mana means to prepare. V'hakel yisbarach hezminu lefisha. The Ribono Sholem prepared at this moment, for this moment, a great fish. Shebisha shehu tal Yonah biyam hezmin hadag shebelo'o. At the moment when Yonah was thrown into the sea, there was this fish that was ready for him to swallow him up. V'lo'otava biyam, so he did not drown in the sea. V'zehaya echa min hanisen. This is one of the miracles which we encounter in this story, that at the moment that Yonah is thrown into the sea, the fish is waiting there to swallow him alive. So that's just one point. The word vayiman is most clearly related to the word zimun, to prepare. Good. One other textual note that I like to bring up, and that is that the Navi seems to be inconsistent. In source number 1, the word dag is in
male.
Is a male form of the word. And in Pasuk Beis, right, in Pasuk Aleph, dag is in the male form. And in Pasuk Beis, hadaga is in female form. It's the feminine form of the word. So which is it? Was it a male fish or was it a female fish? So says Rashi in source number 3, and other Meforshim make this comment as well. Dag gadol, going on Pasuk Aleph, zachar haya. It initially was a male fish. Vaya omed birevach. There was a lot of space in this fish. V'lo nasan leiv l'spalel. And Yonah didn't feel particularly threatened. He felt he was flying first class in this large male fish. No reason to daven to Hashem. And so Yonah didn't. Rimeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu ledag. Somehow God hinted to the fish. V'hika'u letoch piyashan nekeva. And what happened? The male fish spits Yonah out into the mouth of the female fish. Shehaisa meleya ubareha. And the female fish was full of children. V'haya sham v'dochak. No worries. And there, Yonah was much more, it was much tighter. It was like flying economy. And it was very tight, and Yonah was uncomfortable. Vayispal al sham, and that's where Yonah davened sheneemar mimei ha-daga. It's only in Pasuk Beis where the Navi tells us that Yonah davened, and what prompted that? It was being in the female fish, where there was much less room, it was crowded, and therefore Yonah felt, oh, I gotta daven to get out of here. I'm just...
Yeah, I had a totally different thought.
Okay, what do you think?
Once, you know, because it was a... Dag gadol,
right.
But when he was inside, I had a vision of a womb.
Okay.
And a womb is
correct.
Female and self-rising.
Right. Okay, but you still have to figure out what's dag gadol. You have to still figure out what's dag gadol. It's masculine. It's a masculine form of the word. Anyways, that is just something to point out. We're going to come back to both of these points a little bit later. But they're important points to know.
You said dag gadol, and that's the masculine.
Correct.
You never say dagah?
Well, in Pasuk Beis it does. Yimeha dagah, from the innards, from the womb of the female fish. So that's what Rashi says, that Yonah started off in the male fish and then went into the female fish. It can also explain, again, still we don't fully understand it, but why it took Yonah 3 days to daven. If you understand that Pasuk Beis is chronologically coming at the end of Pasuk Aleph, meaning Yonah was swallowed up by the fish, he was in the fish for 3 days and three nights, and only then he prayed. So what's going on? Wasn't Yonah inspired? And I don't really have a great answer to this question, but wasn't Yonah immediately inspired by what's taking place? What's the hesitancy for him to daven? He waits 3 days? Only when he's inside the feminine fish, the female fish, does he feel, oh, now it's a little crowded, I need to get out? Just something to think about as we go through the text.
I didn't understand that he was davening all the 3 days.
Right, that's true.
But I have a question.
But that's why I said that if you understand that Pasuk Beis is chronologically following after the end of Pasuk Aleph.
Yeah.
I might have a crazy question.
Sure.
I don't understand why he needed to pray to God at all.
Okay.
If he ran away from God.
Well, clearly this is God intervening. But this is clearly the Ribbono Shalom intervening. So the question is, Yonah has to ask himself, What message is God trying to send me? And we're gonna talk more about that. And what's gonna help us now move on to more of the substance of the parak and the messages of the parak comes from a very interesting medrash in Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that the Radak quotes. So if you remember, we just discussed that the first word of the parak, Vayiman, on the simple level means to prepare. On the midrashic level, it means to minoy, to appoint. Says the Radak in source number 4, Uvipirke Rabbi Eliezer, in the Medrash of Rabbi Eliezer, Vitarfon Amar, Mimuna Haya Hadad, Misheshes Yimei Bereshis. This fish was already appointed, was already established on the 6 days of creation, Livloa Es Yonah, to swallow Yonah. So I want to make 2 points about this Medrash. The first one, I just want to point out the irony. What's the irony? We discussed last week how, what was Yonah trying to do?
Run away.
Run away from his mission. And this fish had just one mission in life. Already from Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, the Yonah had this, not the Yonah, the fish had one mission. So the Medrash is saying Yonah's trying to run away from his mission, and he's gobbled up by a fish that already knew its mission from the 6 days of creation. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Chachamim are telling us that this fish was already around from the time of creation. The Chachamim are telling us that there is a great message contained in this parak, that the Ribbono Shel already intended to teach us these messages already from the 6 days of creation. Allah b'machshavato. Hashem is thinking about this story and its messages.
Can't run away from anything. Beautiful. Because everything is predestined.
Well, not necessarily everything is predestined, because we understand that there's a bechira chavshit, but God creates us all with our own purpose. And we need to find that purpose. Now, that might sound like semantics. I mean, if we have our own purpose and our own mission, isn't it predestined? But I don't think that that's the case.
Exactly.
Predestined means we can't make our own decisions.
Wait.
That's not what we believe.
We have a purpose, but we have a choice.
Correct.
So we can
exactly
get the purpose done or
exactly
run away from
but
it.
The point is, it's not predestined. We are born with a mission.
So the
everybody
word predestined
has,
is
exactly. I'm taking issue with the language
I'm
that
sorry.
You use. No.
What did you say the other explanation was of Vayiman?
Is Zimun, as in source number one, to prepare.
So in on the first, on number one, it's Zimun.
Right, to prepare.
And on the other one, it's to prepare.
Mimuna, and in source number four, the Medrash Mimuna means to appoint. Right, like a minoy, it's an appointment.
Right.
Correct. So the question that we really need to grapple with now is, if the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach us this message already from the 6 days of creation, what message is it? What is Hashem getting at? What is the teaching that we're supposed to glean from this text? And I think it becomes clear, although we've already discussed it, but it comes very clear from the Al-Sheikh. I'm going to go to the Al-Sheikh and the Ma'al, and then I'll stop for questions. But the Al-Sheikh, I think, summarized what we've been talking about so beautifully, helping us transition now from Parak Aleph to Parak Beis. So look at the Alshech. Alshech writes, source 5. Yonah hinei hayu tachas yado zechus v'chova. Yonah had some merit going for him, but he also had some chova. He was responsible for his actions in a negative way. Zechus v'machshava v'chova v'poel. So he had merit in his thought, what he wanted to do, but ultimately he was held responsible v'poel for his actions. Ki machshava so livroach mipnei Hashem haya livilti chaya v'as Yisroel. What was his thought? What was his thought process? Let me run away so I don't make Bnei Yisrael now guilty. Look bad. Exactly. Ki yada ki agoyim kalim lashov. Because Yonah understood, and it seems like the Alshech is making a general commentary, that the non-Jews are quick to repent. Why is that? Ki ein ha-yetzer hara misgaber aleihem ka'asher al Yisrael. Because the evil inclination is not as strong with a non-Jew as it is for a Jew. We say in general, gadol mitzuva v'oseh, mishe'ena mitzuva v'oseh. A person does a mitzvah when they're not commanded to, is actually less impressive than a person doing a mitzvah when they are commanded to. Because when you're commanded to, there's a yitzhahara that you're fighting against. Exactly. So that's the same concept over here. The Alshech goes on to explain it in a bit more detail. Ki agadol b'kedusha mechavero, yitzro gadol heimenu. The greater sanctity in the person, the greater the evil inclination is as well. The evil inclination is not particularly impressed with itself when it wins over the non-Jews. Kasher b'tameas hakedusha, when it defiles the holiness. And it's much more impressed with itself when it is able to overtake the Jew. Meaning there's much more of a struggle going on for a Jew to do good versus doing bad than there is for a non-Jew. It's much easier to sway one way or the other when you have less of a Yitzhahara, when you have less of a potential for Kedusha. Just one second. Al-Kain Barach Milifnei Hashem. So now, Yonah knew. The non-Jews are going to easily repent because they're not fighting the same forces that the Jews fight. So therefore, we read last week, Yonah runs away. Vayelech al eretz asher ein ruach nevuah sholates sham ki medubar lemala. We talked about this last week. Yonah specifically runs away to chutz la'aretz, where Hashem would have more difficulty, quote unquote, communicating with him. So that's the zechus. Yonah's got something going for him, meritorious going for him. He's running away so as not to find Bnei Israel guilty, by contrast to the people of Nineveh who repent easily. Umitzad Acher, this is the second paragraph in 5. Haisachova biyado b'mitzias habricha. The reality that Yonah ran away was not appropriate. Kimiya areve libo lahatos yamin usmol ma'asher yitzad b'Hashem. Who gave Yonah permission to deviate either left or right, even a little bit, from what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him to do? Akein bereos Yonah es hayam holich v'so'er. So now going back to Perek Aleph, when Yonah sees the tempest in the sea, gamar b'libo ki ratzon kona yisparach letovo b'yam asher bo halach l'vroch nemenu. So Yonah immediately realizes that this storm is a message from Hashem. Yonah, you're going to die because of what you did. So Yonah accepts upon himself basically his punishment, and he tells the sailors, throw me in. Basically, Yonah was ready to give up his life. Let's just skip to the next paragraph, and this is where the Alshech puts it all together. Source 5, paragraph 2. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam, who peers into all of his creations, Gazra Chachmaso Lehoroslo, decrees in God's infinite wisdom, ki b'chol makom asher yirtzeh adam livroach nimenu, wherever you try to run away from me, sham yasiruhu b'ma'asar, lo yuchal lizua v'linoa mitocho. Hashem says, wherever you run away, that's where I'm going to get you. There's no such thing from running away from your mission. V'lachin v'yaman Hashem, Mayiman Hashem da gadol livloa es Yonah. Ke'im lecha ma'asar gadol miyos toch me'ehadag. There's no greater jail than being in the belly of a fish.
No, wait,
so says the Avshech, Yonah has a merit going for him, but he's also worthy of being punished. The merit, he ran away for the sake of Bnei Yisrael, as we discussed last week. On the other hand, he has to be punished because he did not obey God's will. And therefore, God sends a message to Yonah, says the Avshech. You have to realize, Yonah, you can never run away from what I ask of you. And this again is the message of Tshuva. We are all born with kochos, with special abilities. And Hashem wants us to do something unique with those abilities. And if we spend Elul and Aser Simei Tshuva looking at what other people do, trying to be like other people, we will not succeed. Teshuva is all about finding what Hashem wants from me. And that's exactly what's going on here. And I believe that's the importance that the Chachamim are trying to tell us, that the Dag was already created from the 6 days of creation. Because this message that you can't run away from what God wants of us is so critical that the fish was already prepared from the 6 days of creation. And I think Yonah gets it. Yonah's sitting in this fish and he realizes there's no running away from what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of me. And Yonah has a rebirth of sorts. He now commits himself to going to Nineveh. The Malbim points out, and then I'll stop for questions. Okay. The Malbim points out, and going on the words in Pasuk Aleph, Vayiman Hashem Da Gadol, Hashem Hizmin B'Makom Hazeh Da Gadol, God prepares a large fish for this moment, Shabbalah, Kulo Shalim, that swallows Yonah whole, Velo Shavar Atzmosav, doesn't break any of Yonah's bones, everybody knows a person can't live inside of a fish even for a moment, even if they're swallowed whole. Essentially, the Malbim is saying a person needs to breathe oxygen. There's no oxygen in the middle of a fish. Ulam, and I bolded these words because I thought it was critical. You see, Yonah was already decreed to die for running away from Hashem. V'nechshav ki'ilu nolad shenis. Yonah had a death sentence. He had to be thrown over for running away from Hashem. Now he's in the belly of a fish. It's like a rebirth. Nolad shenis sham. Sham lo Hashem teva ha'ubar. What's an ubar? A fetus. Yonah is like a new baby. Right? Think of the imagery. The womb of a mother, Yonah is in the womb of the fish because it's a rebirth for Yonah. Hanotzer umiskayim tes chadashim b'me'ei imo mibli sh'ifas ruach. So just like a fetus miraculously, I mean, we call it science, but it's the Ribbono Shel Olam's masterful work. Just like a fetus can live in the womb of its mother for 9 months plus, as my wife likes to point out, it's not just 9 months, 9 months plus. So just like a fetus can live inside its mother's womb for 9 months without oxygen, Yonah was living in the belly, in the womb of the fish for 3 days, but it was a rebirth. It also signifies a rebirth, because now Yonah understands there is no running away from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this was such a powerful idea for Yonah that it spurs him to make a powerful tefillah, which is going to take us through the rest of the parak. Now I'll stop here for a couple of questions or comments.
I was going to say, when you said the word rebirth, I didn't read the next paragraph, but it automatically connected into the womb, and maybe that's the whole point of putting him in female.
Interesting.
So there's a whole rebirth.
Correct. Yeah. Obviously the question is, why didn't God have Yonah swallowed by the female fish to begin with? No.
Okay.
But certainly the imagery of Yonah being inside the belly of a female fish, surrounded, as Rashi said, by other eggs or other fish, that's a very powerful imagery. Yes.
In some biology, usually the female fish are bigger than the male fish.
Okay.
In most of the fish species. And so I understood it like I talk about my dog, male, and then I suddenly remember she's female, so she was a
female dog is also.
And I always thought the fish was so greedy when it swallowed you but whole that you always swallowed a lot of air and then you're on air.
So I think it's a very powerful, idea that the Malbim specifically is talking about, exactly that imagery of the rebirth of Yonah, realizing there's no running away from Hashem. He's literally in the womb as he's becoming reborn again. So as Yonah is in the belly of this fish and is having a rebirth of sorts, he's prompted to offer a tefillah to Hashem. Now as we read on, the tefillah itself is a bit cryptic. We're going to go through it to the best that we can. But I want you to keep in mind what's not written in the tefillah. Think about where Yonah is running away from Hashem in the process of tshuva himself, recognizing you can't run away from your mission. Think about the words that Yonah uses, and at the end we're going to take a moment to appreciate what Yonah doesn't say also. So let's start. So before we jump into the tefillah itself, which we're really going to use the Malbim and others, but we're going to focus on the Malbim's approach to this tefillah. It's a short tefillah, just about 7 or 8 psukim. Says the Malbim, source number 7, just a way of giving us a framework for the tefillah. So Malbim. Tefillah zu nichlekes legimel chalakim. Yonah's prayer can be broken up into 7 different, I apologize, 3 different components. So again, this is source number 7. Chelek Aleph, Yisaper Eis Hishlichu Liyah. The first part tells us the moment what Yonah was thinking when he was first cast into the sea. She'az Hityaish Minachayim. Yiyosh, he had given up from life. He thought this was it. Aval, Kishabalao Hadag, Vinishar Chai B'me'av. But when the fish swallows up Yonah and he remains alive. And he realizes that the fish swallows him that he is going to live. So that's the first part of the prayer. Next part, Chilek Beis. Achash Shepalto Hadad Shenishlach Shenis Be'amke to Home Rabbah Hityad Ish Shenis. So we know that it goes from one fish. So the second fish, that's why I brought it in, Rashi's commentary, to begin with, that we know that Yonah has a process where he's initially spit out from the male fish into the female fish. So at that point, when he's in the water again, before he is yet swallowed by the female fish, he again thinks, that's it, I'm a goner. That's the second part of his tefillah. And Chela Gimel, Eis Hatsar Lo, B'mei Hadak. The difficulty that Yonah had in the female fish, Shas kibel alatzmo lishmoa b'kol Hashem aleches lenin be'kidvar Hashem. That's the last stage where Yonah comes to the realization that, okay, I realize I erred, and now I really need to go to Ninveh and fulfill what God wants of me. So those are the 3 different parts of the tefillah. The Malbim points out that there is one pasuk that opens it off as a header. So in source number 8, I labeled it pisicha, it's the opener, it's the header to the tefillah. Source number 8, let's read it inside. Vayomer karasi mitzara li el Hashem, and I actually have the translation over here from Chabad.com if you're so inclined, because it's cryptic. And he said, I called out from my distress to the Lord, vayanini, Hashem answered me, mibeten sheol shavati shamata koli. From the belly of the grave I cried out, you heard my voice. So Sheol means grave, means hell according to some. Sheol in this context really means from the belly of the fish. Yonah felt that he was in despair. He felt he was in Gehenna. Good. So says the Malbim source number 9, Ba'amar techila klal. And Yonah starts off his tefillah with some general comments. Karasi mitzara li mitzara el Hashem vayanini. Ashnei hapa'amim shehushlach liyam. Yonah is describing calling out to God from the depths. That's referring to both times when he was initially thrown in, and then subsequently when he was spit out from fish 1 to fish 2. V'kara el Hashem v'yanehu. Yonah called out to God and he was answered. Ayideh shabalo hadag v'hadaga. How was Yonah answered? Because he was swallowed up by these fishes. Fish. V'yata mibeten sha'ol shavati. And now I cry out to you from the womb of this fish. Hainumi beten hadaga. This is when Yonah cried out in the womb of the female fish. Hainu beten hadaga hanimshal kisha'ol. The womb of the fish, the belly of the fish, is compared to the grave. Hamuchan lahashchiso. That's prepared to destroy him. Gehenna, the grave, it's all the same imagery.
Kisha'ol also netherworld?
Same meaning.
The underworld.
Yeah, exactly. All of, means all the same. Eftach kishama. Yes. All different interpretations. The Eftach kishamata kali. But I trust in Hashem that He will listen to my voice. Vatotzi inil rivia, that Hashem will essentially take me out and I will survive back on land. Good.
But it's interesting. The wording is totally constant imagery. and comparison.
Two.
Mi karati mitzarali. Okay. Tsar is very narrow.
Very good.
But Sarah is good. In my trouble.
Very good. So some.
And then again with the Sheol.
Right.
But he uses the word beten, and sometimes it is used, but in his case,
right.
It's literally the stomach.
Right. And it's also literally Sheol in the depth.
Yeah.
100%.
So it's a very interesting.
It's very powerful. A very powerful opening line for Yonah's tefillah. Many of them, unfortunately, point out that lots of the psukim that we see from Yonah's tefillah parallel other psukim as well that you find in Tehillim and in other words of the Nevi'im. So just to show you, the Ashik, for example, sees in the word Vayanini, I called out to Hashem and he answered me, says the Ashik in source 10, Ke'enyan terem yikru'u, before we finish calling out, Vani eneh, Hashem has already answered. Zashik says that's the same thing over here. Vayomer karati mitzarali, I called out to Hashem. Vaya anini, he answered me. But then I go on to call out again. Vaya mibetan shol shiviti. You see, I haven't yet finished davening. I'm still calling out from the depths, but it's previously vaya anini. And that's exactly what Yeshayahu says also in source number 11. Vahayat harem yikru'u, and it shall be when they have not yet called out. Va'ani eneh. Hashem already answers us. Odhei medabrim. They're still speaking. B'nei Yisrael are still talking. Va'ani eshma. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is already listening. So the Al-Sheikh points out that concept of Yeshayahu, that Hashem is listening already before, is already answering us. Before we have finished davening, it's the same thing that Yonah is mentioning in his tefillah as well. I called out to Hashem via Anini, but mibetan shol shavati, I was still calling out to God. But I have already been answered. And says the Al-Sheikh something so phenomenal, both about this pasuk in Yonah, and it has a similar significance in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, in source number 12. V'lama lo tziva miyad l'haki'eni. Yonah, this is Al-Sheikh is speaking from Yonah's point of view. Yonah is saying, Hashem, if you listen to me already, before I even finished, you were already listening to me, so why don't you immediately tell the fish to spit me out? Why do you let me go on? It's the same concept in Yeshayahu. Before we finish speaking, Hashem has already answered us. So we don't have to finish speaking, meaning bring us the salvation already, before the end of our tefillah. Same thing by Yonah. So says Ashik, V'lama lo tziva miyala ki'ini, adigmor kol tefillah si, v'chol divrei eila. Hashem, why didn't you allow the fish to spit me out even before I finish my prayers? Halohu kimi beten sho'o shavasi shamata koli. I was calling out from the depths and the wombs. You could have answered me quickly. So look at what he says. It's so beautiful. We can understand this based on the same wisdom that we see in the pasuk in Yeshayahu. How can a person tell when they are particularly loved by somebody else? So listen to this mashal. Asher lemelach imo avo, how can, so it's one long sentence, let me read it again. V'hu, ki b'met heidachi b'yesera asher lemelach imo avo, how can a person tell when a king loves somebody a lot? Im lo b'shamoa kol imre fiv achare yadu ritzono. When a king listens to what his subject or his friend wants to say, even after the king knows what the person wants. If two of the king's friends or beloved ones come before him, each one has something to ask of Hashem. Sorry, of the king. And the king knows what each one is going to ask. The first friend comes in, the king says, all right, I know you're here again, fine, I'm happy to grant your request. The first guy doesn't even have to finish what he's asking for. He just shows up, opens his mouth, already we get what he wants. The king says, you don't have to speak anymore. Even though the king is certainly going to fulfill the second one's request, minicho ad yigmar kol divrei she'ilato ubakashaso legamre. The king allows this friend to continue talking. This is such an interesting perspective. Es mi mishneyem yahav hamelech yoser. Which of the two people does the king love more? The one who he immediately says, "Oh, I know what you want, no problem, get out of here." Or the one who he allows to finish the conversation and then says, "Sure." It's the second one. Because had the king interrupted him initially, he wouldn't have an opportunity to hear him speak. The king loves hearing the second one talk. It excites him. It creates the relationship when there's a conversation. So the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam hears us, but still lets us continue davening, is in fact reflective of the great love that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us. He loves hearing us daven. And that's what Yonah was saying. Going back again to source number 8. Vayomer karasi mitzar li el Hashem vayaneni. I called out and God immediately was prepared to answer me. But nonetheless, mibetem she'ol shavati shamata koli. From the belly of the grave I cried out. I still kept on davening. Hashem still let me go on. The fish did not spit me out immediately. And that's the same thing in Yeshayahu. Vayatar mikru, before you even call out, vani enet. Od he medarim, b'nei Yisrael is still speaking. Vani yashma. Hashem has already heard them. But they go on. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam so much loves our communication. That even though he knows what he wants, he knows what we want. He loves to hear us say it. And I think that that's a profound idea about tefillah in general. Tefillah is not just about getting, you know, rattling off what we need. We need A, B, C, and D. Hashem, give it to us, give it to us, give it to us. Because if that was all, so first of all, the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what we need. He doesn't need us to say it. He could just give it to us. Tefillah is about a relationship. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves to hear us talk. Loves to hear us converse with Him. That's what He wants. So He knows what we need. But it doesn't stop us from discussing it, articulating it. Because it brings the Ribbono Shel Olam so much nachas to have that conversation, if you will, with His most beloved people, with Am Yisrael. Yes?
Two things.
Please.
Number one, the idea of hishtadlut. So the tefillah is our hishtadlut.
Right.
If we're supposed to do that, then He's letting us do our part into
correct.
That.
Correct. That's the part of it. But this is the al sheikh is spinning it a little bit differently.
But also the fact, it says, it's about the connection.
Okay.
So if you have the connection, you need to be able to express.
Right. Right. 100%.
So that's also self-inspection. Yeah.
Correct.
So what I'm seeing here is the relationship between speaking and hearing.
Okay.
And we know with hearing.
Okay,
Shema.
Right.
It's a very spiritual thing. It means you've understood. So I think what he's saying, what Hashem is saying, is I hear you. We're on a spiritual level now. You heard me. I hear you now.
Beautiful.
You hearing me.
Beautiful. I love it.
I love it.
So this is all part of Yonah's introductory pasuk, right. Introductory phrase to his tefillah.
Also the word aneni.
Right.
It's when Abraham and Hashem were speaking to each other and he said, where are you?
No, that's hineni. Hineni.
But isn't it the same?
No. Similar. Hineni means I am here.
Yeah.
But ana means to answer. Yeah, so different. But I definitely understand why you made that. Very similar. Not a problem at all. So that is the introductory phrase, introductory pasuk. And now let's move on to the body of Yonah's tefillah. So in source number 13, we have Chelek Aleph. Again, Malbim said we can break down this prayer into three distinct parts. So here comes Chelek Aleph. Two psukim, we'll read the Hebrew and the English and just small commentaries on the three different parts, and then we'll sum it up at the end. So it says Yonah, Vatishlicheni Mitzula Bilavab Yamim, Vanahar Yisov, we're on source 13. Chelek Aleph. Vatishlicheni Mitzula Bilavab Yamim. And you cast me into the deep in the heart of the seas, and a river surrounds me. All your breakers and your waves pass over me. So remember, Mom says the first segment of Yonah's tefillah is remembering those moments of despair when he's thrown into the water. He thinks he's going to die. And then he is initially swallowed by the male fish, right? So again, Yonah is saying, I remember as I was cast into the sea, the water surrounded me, and I was being tossed and turned all over with the waves. Vani amarti nigrashti minegei nach, and I said, I've been driven away from before your eyes. Right? Yonah's initial reactions to being thrown into the sea was, that's it, Hashem, I'm going to die. I've been thrown away from you. Achosif lehabit al heichal kadshacha. But then Yonah says, I will indeed continue to gaze upon Heichal Kadshacha, the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Malbim, in source number 14, Vani Amarti, and I said, Rotzalomar, Az Chashavti Kinegrashti Minegeinecha. At that moment, when I'm thrown into the sea, I thought I was cast away from you, Hashem. Ach, B'masher Ha'isiyas Hanes, Shabala Osi Hadad, Vinisharti b'chayim, but then when I'm swallowed by the fish and remain alive, Ra'isi ki ore necha v'yishkachasi alai, I realize that Hashem, you're still watching me. You're still protecting me. Uvazei yadati, and that's how I knew, ki osif lahabit al heichal kadshacha, that one day I will see your Beis HaMikdash yet again.
So is that all, the whole inyan of the tefillah, is that why it's connected to
Yom HaKippurim? We're going to have to get to the end of Yonah to reflect why the Chacham specifically chose this for Yom HaKippurim, although I think we're already seeing some themes that are very relevant to Yom HaKippurim, certainly. Yes.
This Chelek Aleph and Bet, I don't quite understand, because to whom is Yonah talking here? To God, right?
Correct. Uh-huh.
Or even maybe
to
talking to himself, yeah. That I realize of what's going on. That why do we need to know? Because we know he was fallen. We know that it was created a miracle. So I don't
understand
why.
So this is powerful. The Navi records all sorts of tefillos. The Navi records.
But this is not a tefillah.
It is a tefillah.
This is telling us what he went through.
These are Yonah's reflections
of
not just that, it's more poetic. This is a real tefillah. It's not just saying I was thrown into the water. These are difficult psukim. I have the pleasure of reading you the English, but these are difficult psukim that Yonah is creating a beautiful poetic tefillah to Hashem, and the Navi clearly wants us to be able to learn lessons, and that's under emotional. That's why it's included. Hashem says, let's record this, because it's a very powerful lesson for all generations.
Rabbi,
yes.
This is a metaphor of birth, of rebirth. The baby's in the water.
Okay.
He's in the water.
Interesting.
He's in the stomach of the fish. We are in the stomach
okay.
of the mother.
Right.
And we learn the Torah, the
okay.
whole Torah. So at the end, he sees the Beit HaMikdash.
Interesting. Very nice. I like that idea very much.
So it's metaphorical as well.
Yeah, very good.
You mean there is a belief that when a child is in the womb, there is an angel that
right.
is
right. Right.
That's what she's talking about.
So it's interesting. It's very
nice. I didn't hear the beginning of what you said, so.
It's a very interesting
it's a
idea. Right.
For us.
Very nice. Very nice. So that's Chelek Aleph, right? Yonah is reflecting upon the moments when he's thrown into the water, he thinks he's going to die, and then he realizes, no, I will yet live on because of this great miracle. Next segment of the tefillah, source number 13, Chelek Beis, Afafuni mayim ad nefesh tahom, yisavaveni suf chavush leroshi. Water has surrounded me even to the soul, right? Afafuni mayim ad nefesh, Tehom Yisoveveni, the deep encompassed me, Suf Chavush L'Roshi, the Red Sea, the Yam Suf, hangs over my head. So the Suf is also, it just means like a body of water. So we'll come back to that. Next Pasuk, L'Kitzvei Harim Yaradeti Aretz B'richeha Ba'adi Le'olam V'atal Mishachas Chai Hashem Elokai. To the bottom of the mountains I descended, the earth, its bars are closed on me forever. But you brought up my life from Gehenna, O Lord, my God. So again, difficult poetic poetic structures going on over here, but just to show you two comments of the Malbim, Afafuni, right? Water has surrounded me. Achar kach, kishapalat hadag oso shenis el hayam. So the second part of the tefillah, you know, is reflecting what it was like to go from that first fish to the water, back to the second fish, right? Achar kach kishapalat hadag oso shenis el hayam. Ad afafuni mayim anefa ad. Ad nefesh v'loha mayim b'shetach hayam ki b'tchila. This is not the upper waters as I was initially caught in, because when the sailors threw him over, so he was initially in the top part of the waters. Rak tehom yisoveveni. The depths of the water now surround me, because the first fish took Yonah and brought him all the way down. Ki adag haya imo b'omek tehom. The fish brought Yonah all the way down to the depths of the sea, and that's where the fish spit him out. And then he goes on to say, Suf. So it could be that Yonah was actually in the Yam Suf, or maybe just the top part of the water was called Suf. Either way, that part was on top of me. And then the Malbim comments based on the Pasuk Zion, how Yonah was so deep in the waters that he was in the depths of the world, at the mountains, right? Yonah describes how the mountains are bars on top of me, because below the surface of the earth, there is water. And that's where Yonah was. That's how far down he was, that he felt like the mountains on top of him were bars enclosing him, because he was so low down that the earth was on top of him, the mountains were on top of him, enclosing him in. So that is Chelek Beis. Source 15 already brings us now to Chelek Gimel. Bitatefa lai nafshias Hashem zacharti vatavoi lecha tefilasi el hichar karchacha. When my soul grew faint upon me, now this is already talking about the time when he was now inside the belly of the female fish, was much more confined. He was traveling coach now, right? So he remembered Hashem, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. So when my soul grew faint, I was trapped, my soul was wrapped around me, I was trapped. At Hashem Zacharti, I really remembered God in this place. That's where you want to get to the clicks. When he's in the belly of the second fish, then I begin offering my prayers to you. This is a difficult pasuk. Those who keep worthless futilities abandon their kindness. We'll come back to that phrase, that pasuk, because it's hard. Mishamrim havle shav. Those who keep worthless futilities chastam yazavu, abandon their kindness. Very strange. Vani bekol toda ez bechalach. Asher nadarti ashalema Yeshua sal Hashem. I apologize on the Marmakomos over here. It's the repetition of the translation of Pasuk Test. But Yonah says, I will go with songs of thanksgiving. I will make sure to make good on all the promises that I've made to Hashem. Yeshua sal Hashem. Salvation is with Hashem. This is where the rebirth is happening. In Chelek Gimel, where Yonah is in now the belly of the female fish, he realizes that everything he has done up to now was a mistake in terms of trying to run away from his mission. And he says, now it's time for me to daven. I will bring all of the sacrifices that I promised Hashem that I would bring when I felt so restricted. I will make good on my word. Let's just dissect a couple of the phrases over here, and then we'll wrap it up. I know the hour is late. So says the Malbim, Behita Teif. So this is Chelek Shlishi. This is the third part. Yifarish Mashakasov Mibeten Sheol Shavasi. This is an explanation of what we read about way back when in Pasuk Gimel, that from the belly of the fish I spoke to Hashem. Now when my soul is, I mean the translation is when my soul is faint, when I feel weak, Yonah really felt like he was going to die because there are all of the babies, all of the eggs that were around him. As Hashem Zacharti, he remembers the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ata zacharti lispala v'lashuv b'tshuva ulavtiach ki maleh dvar Hashem. This is at the point where Yonah really feels he's ready to repent. V'tavo elecha tefilasi el hichal kachacha. And Yonah is hopeful that his tefillah will go all the way to hichal kachacha, to God's abode. V'chazal amru shaya b'tahom shetachas hartzio. Our rabbis tell us that Yonah, that where he was. He was in the depths below the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so that's a nice idea. So now let's break apart Pasuk Tes, and then we will finish up. Yeah, please.
All of this we say that this is how we should pray or how we have to behave.
Correct.
To learn from Yonah.
Correct.
What he went through. But this last part here, how do we recognize that we are so in confinement,
right,
and that we are so hard, that we really need to change our ways?
It's difficult. Part of it is if a person is constantly recognizing all the good that Hashem does, you realize how much we have to be thankful to Hashem and how we really have to respond to all of Hashem's bracha by doing mitzvot, by learning Torah. I mean, there's so much bracha that surrounds all of us. The more we're cognizant of that, the more we feel so reliant on the Rebbe Hashem. We feel more confined. We see we're beneficiaries of such good, such consistent good from the devotion, that we feel almost there's a certain level of anxiety because, God, I'm so unworthy of all that I receive. That breeds a certain feeling of confinement. And you respond to that by doing the best that you can in terms of serving the Rosh Hashanah through Tzvilah, Torah, Ma'aseh Tovim. That's what I would suggest. Yes.
A lot of times when people are in deep tzara, they wish to die.
Right.
But they're really not ready to die. And once it feels like they're going, they're suddenly asking God to help them come back.
Interesting.
So, this is something
very nice
that
idea. Yeah. Very nice idea. So, Yonah at this point, he's in a female fish. He's realizing, God, you got me. I give up. I'm ready to go on my mission. I am sorry for what I did. Actually, did Yonah ever say that? I'm sorry for what I did?
No.
We're going to come back to that. I shouldn't have said that phrase because he never said that. And we'll come back to that at the end.
But he didn't do.
Exactly. Yonah has resolved to go on his mission. And that is at least the way the Malbim reads these verses over here. And when Yonah makes that decision to go, so he says this cryptic pasuk in Pasuk Tes, Mishamrim Hevle Shav Chasdam Yazohu. Those who keep worthless futilities abandon their kindness. What does that mean? So says the Malbim in Pasuk Tes, Mishamrim, Ata now, Shekibol Alatzmo Laleches Leninve Ulochicha Midvar Hashem. Now that Yonah has accepted upon himself his mission to go to Nineveh, Amar El Atzmo Divrei Tanchumin, he begins to comfort himself. Halo Eile Anshe Nineveh Shehei Mishamim Hevle Shav Umaaminim Ba'avodazara. The people of Nineveh who keep worthless futilities, Mishamim Hevle Shav, these people are involved in Nourishkeit, they're involved in idolatry, nothingness. Hachi Efshar Shechastam Ya'azovu. Well, they give up their chesed. Here, chesed doesn't mean kindness, it means disgrace. Will they ever really give up their disgrace? You know, he's comforting himself by saying, I know I'm going to go to Nineveh, and they're going to repent. But it's not going to be a sincere repentance. It's not going to last. So I'll go, but I'm not so worried that it's going to reflect very poorly on Bnei Israel, because I know that their repentance will not be a sincere repentance. As they say, easy come, easy go. Right? Connecting back to the Al-Sheikh, that the non-Jews are easily swayed to do tshuva, but they're just as easily swayed to do sins as well.
Is that like a question mark after Chazal?
Right, exactly, yes. It's almost like it's read as a rhetorical, exclamatory statement. Hachi efshar shechastam ya'azovu, sheyazvu et avodah zarah shelahem. And again, the parentheses, milashon chesed v'cherpa. Chesed over here doesn't mean kindness, it means disgrace. Are they going to really abandon their disgrace? Halo bevadei lo yashuvu micheit avodah zarah shebiadam. They're not really going to repent. O rotzelomar hagam sheyashuvu lefisha. Or maybe the Malbim is saying, either Yonah is suggesting, they're really not going to do it. I'm going to go, but they're really not going to do it. O rotzelomar hagam sheyashuvu lefisha. This is more line lines than what we were translating initially. Even if they will repent for the time, ultimately they're going to revert back to their evil ways and they will have to be destroyed. The Radak, interestingly, understands that Pasuk Tes is not a reference to the people of Nineveh, but the sailors. Mishamim Havlesha, those people who really guard futility, Chasdam Yaazovu. Even though they did chesed, it's a more liberal translation of chesed, but they repented, not necessarily even repented, they grabbed onto Hashem when they saw the miracle of the tempest and how it went away when Yonah was thrown over. So Mishamim Hevle Shav, those people who really guard futility, chasdam ya'azovu, they will give up their chesed. They will give up those commitments that they made to Hashem when they were on that boat. Because only a Jew who has a deep and everlasting connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam will have a deep and theoretically everlasting repentance. But the non-Jews, it's easy come, easy go. So Yonah's comforting himself. He says, alright, listen, I have to go to Nineveh. But I realize now that when the non-Jews are spurred to tshuva, it's not everlasting. It's not as impactful. So maybe it won't reflect as poorly on Bnei Yisrael.
Because the first paragraph there sounds very negative about Jews.
Right.
And it's still making Yonah look bad. You know, he wanted to run away, didn't want to do it, and now he's saying, anyway, it's futile.
Right, that's true. That's
not
true.
About Jews.
Huh?
Not about
right
Jews.
Now he's
the first paragraph is he about Jews, and therefore it doesn't make sense.
He just wants to justify
it. Ayala, which paragraph are you referring to?
The first one on top.
What source?
Well, you're saying Meshamrim.
Right.
And you were saying that Yonah is thinking about the people of Nineveh.
Right.
That they're going to leave the Avodah Zarah.
Right.
But they'll certainly come back
correct
to it.
Right.
So I'm saying that's not reflecting positively again. So it's almost saying
on the Jews? But he's talking about
Nineveh.
Well,
he's
talking about Nineveh.
Because it won't help anyhow.
Well, that's okay, but it's not directly making commentary on the Jews. He's just saying, I'm going to go, but either they're not going to repent altogether, or maybe they'll repent, but it will be only for a short amount of time, and then chasdam ya'azovu. They're
going to
give up.
And therefore, it will not reflect.
Exactly, right. It's Yonah saying, okay, listen. No. Yonah's saying, listen, I have to go. I realize I can't run away from Hashem. But chasdam ya'azovu, that they're not going to hang on. It won't be an impactful tshuva process.
Rabbi, I don't see this at all.
Okay.
What I'm seeing is that with the futilities and the kindness,
okay,
that Yonah, by focusing on futility, focusing on things that don't concern him,
okay,
he is removing himself from chesed.
Interesting. How do you read that?
Because
all he has to do
is what Hashem says. He doesn't have to worry about the rest of it.
Right.
When he's concerning himself with futilities, with
right
the rest of it, which it's futile.
He's
can't do anything about it anyway.
Right.
Exactly. But if he would just listen to Hashem,
right,
hear Hashem and do Hashem's will, that's all he has to do.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay.
And
so the Malbim actually says something along those lines. Actually, is commentary on the next pasuk. Let's just go back, look back at pasuk Yud for a moment because we have to finish up.
Yeah, let's finish.
So in pasuk Yud, again, Yonah says, "Vani bekol toda ez bechalach."
Yeah.
So first of all, the Malbim says that that's a reference to bringing korban toda. Because what are one of the four people after bringing a korban toda? A person who has a journey over the sea. So Yonah says, okay, v'ani b'kol todas b'chalach. I'll bring a korban toda. Asher nadarti ashalema. The promises that I've made, I will fulfill. So it could be a reference to Yonah saying, Hashem, when I get out, I'm going to bring you korbanos. But more practically, he says the Malbim, it's late, so we won't read it inside. What does Yonah really need to be mishalim? What does he have to pay back? He has to go to Nineveh. So says the Malbim, this is a reference. You're saying, okay, I'm going to go. Asher nadarti ashalema. God, I promise you that I'm going to go to Nineveh now. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Nineveh. Yeshua sala Hashem. Ultimately, Hashem, you're the salvation. Whatever happens after I go to Nineveh and they repent and the Assyrians attack the Jews, Yeshua sala Hashem. Hashem, you control all salvation. I remove myself, not out of abandonment or fear, but I remove myself from your plan. Hashem, this is your plan, I'm going to do as you say. And we see that Yonah's tefillah works because the Navi in source number 19 reports, Vayomer Hashem ledag, Hashem communicates with this fish. Interesting, it doesn't say daga, it's dog.
Just
interesting, just pointing out there. Vayomer Hashem ledag, Vayakei es Yonah el hayabasha, and it vomits, it spits out Yonah to the sea. I need one more minute, and then I will stop the class, and everyone has to go, not a problem. Rav Achrach has a beautiful sefer. He goes through this. He goes through Sefer Yonah in his sefer, and he points out that this is a beautiful tefillah, but there's something glaringly missing. Iker chaser min ha-sefer. I did give it away. Where is Yonah saying, "I am sorry"? Why doesn't Yonah say, "Hashem, I made a mistake. I thought I could run away, and I'm clearly wrong"? The tefillah is beautiful. It's inspiration. It goes to the different parts according to the Malam, when he spit out, when he's thrown off the boat, when he's swallowed by the first fish, he spit out, then swallowed by the second fish, prompted to finally do teshuva, theoretically, and he's certainly prompted to daven and take on his mission. But how come we never see chatati? How come he always says, "I am sorry"? He doesn't answer the question, by the way. He just points it out that ikar chaser min ha-sefer, that the essence is missing. The process of being swallowed up and living in a fish for 3 days was meant to spur Yonah for tshuva. But the ikur of tshuva is chatasi. How come we don't see that in the tefillah? Just putting it out as a question mark.
We are reading it on Yom Kippur. We are doing tshuva for Yonah.
Exactly. Well, no, we're not. But what is missing is ultimately...
Ultimately, one second.
Ultimately, we're left with not more questions than answers, but one overarching question on Yonah's tefillah is where's the sorry? Now, clearly Hashem says, Yonah, I get it. You've repented. You're a good man because the fish spits Yonah out. Now we're going to read, he goes to Nineveh. So Yonah did what Hashem wanted him to do and the process was impactful, but it's curious that there's no mention of sin and Yonah feeling Yonah feeling a sense of repentance for what he did.
Let me ask you one. When there's a reference to the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is the birth of the Jewish nation.
Okay.
And what did we have to accomplish at that? We had to show Yonah.
Okay.
And we had to do it.
Okay.
And it's the same thing with Yonah.
All right.
So sometimes you don't have to say I'm sorry, your actions reflect.
Interesting. You're saying so the critical piece would be in Pasuk Yud where he says, Ned Asher Nadarki Ashalema, that which I promise I will do. And that's it. We're thinking about your words, let me see action. So you're saying I'm ready to act.
Right.
Very good. Very good. Maybe that's why ultimately God doesn't kind of quote unquote stand on ceremony, and that's why God says, "Okay, fish, spit them out. Let's see Yonah do it."
Also, don't forget the fish.
Right.
It's the symbol of fertility.
Right. Interesting. Right? Interesting.
It's the birth of the nation. It's
right.
The birth again of teshuvah.
Very good.
A real teshuvah.
Very good. So let's just summarize quickly, and then we'll stop. I'm happy to stay for more conversations afterwards. So we basically started by, there were a number of different details, but I'll just go over the broad strokes, that the Medrash tells us that this fish was already appointed and prepared by God already from the 6 days of creation. So clearly, Medrash is telling us this is an important story. So what is that message? The Alshich so beautifully tells us that Yonah had a zechus and Yonah had a chova. The zechus was that he was trying to save Bnei Israel, but chova, he didn't listen to Hashem. And the story shows us that you can try as you will, but you will never run away from your mission. God puts us here for a reason. And Hashem was saying, you can't run away from me. Wherever you are, I will get you. And that's represented by Yonah's confinement in the fish. Hashem traps him there because you have no way of running away. The Malbim tells us that the fish swallowing Yonah has the imagery of the fetus in the mother of a child. This was a rebirth for Yonah. He came to a realization here that he never had before, and that prompts him to offer a prayer, a tefillat Hashem. The prayer has an introductory phrase, an introductory pasuk, and then it has three different components. Ultimately, Yonah says, Hashem, I'm going to do as you say. The fish spits Yonah out, and next week we learn how Yonah goes to Nineveh, but of course you'll have to join us next week to learn about that.